Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 226. I'm Josiah Sat for the Villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? I'm back one more week for episode 226. All right, let's get started real quick. Normally, last week, I was on episode 225, recorded normal, business as usual, except after I recorded, I'm like, fuck, every 25th episode, I would do something, I don't know, I guess special. I would write something for Adam, or just write something and have friends on and just try to be as creative as fuck as I could, making it fun for them. And that came from something like, you know, when I was a kid growing up reading comics, every 25th issue was like giant size spectacular, 25th, you know, issue, 50th issue, 75th issue, 100th issue was a big deal. So the fact that I hit episode 225 and still get into the momentum, the movement, the jive of this, hitting it, you know, attacking it by myself is still odd to me sometimes. So that I'm not able to be creative or write something. Like, I could write a skit, but I'm not a comedian. I'm not going to do that. It's hard to do it solo. I'd rather have myself write something that I can interact with people, and that part of the equation is what makes it tough to do. So, yeah, that was a cheesy one. But let's hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. 100 episodes ago, we entitled hashtag, this was episode 126, The Gridiron. Hashtag the gridiron. Atman the Beaner is back to join at For the Villain as we hit a grip of NFL football, big game talk, and predictions, along with prop bets and simulation talk. We hit normal comic talk, comic reviews with DC shows, Gotham, Legends of Tomorrow, Justice League Action, Titans, DC Comics, Rebirth talk, and cancellation rumors, along with Nicktoons, X-Men Age of Apocalypse, and Riverdale news. We hit comic reviews, Deadly Class number 18, still love the fuck out of that. We are Robin number 8. Why the Last Man, Volume 1, trade paperback. We hit Daredevil number 3, Old Man Logan number 1, and Book of the Week. That week was East of West number 24, and I'm actually going to review an issue of that today. All right, guys, that's what we hit 100 episodes, what constitutes to 2 years ago. If any of these topics ever sound good, definitely jump back into our back catalog. Go to thecomicsyndicate.com, or even go to thecomicsyndicate.com. Podbean.com is a really good site. Just hit thecomicsnicket.com, actually. You can find everything Adam had put by month and everything we did for that particular month. Granted, it just dropped off a little bit. Okay, so I hit every 25th, 50th, 75th, 100th episodes, you know, were special things. Last week was a special thing, I guess. This week, you know what? They're all fucking special things now that I'm able to fucking do it still. I fucking love the fuck out of it. So to piggyback that idea, the emails for more content have been coming in already. And this isn't just necessarily from you guys, the audience, but, people on Facebook, people on Twitter are hitting me back up again, which I haven't received in the longest time. But, as far as emails for like, hi, I'm sorry to bother you. Would you mind reviewing my comic sometime? Can I send you a PDF? Can I send you physical work? Can you, you know, review my stuff? And, you know, DM me on the side. It's always a cool thing. Like, we started the Comic Syndicate for a reason. And I do work a lot. And I can never tell anyone I don't have enough time. And I don't want to give anyone an excuse like that. Especially if they're reaching out like, you know, it's their own work they created. I definitely don't want to do that. And I never turn anyone down. So a bunch of those opportunities have been coming up, and a lot more like, you know what, I want to collaborate with this person, I want to collaborate with that person, I want to interview that person, and the options are there, and they are coming up again. The second job does take up some time, so to put all these projects together is work. I never complain about work, it's just never ending is what it is, and you know what, again, we started it, the Comic Syndicate, for that particular reason, so I do love the fuck out of it. But now I just want to let you know what I have coming down the pike for you guys, dude. Okay, bullet points, I guess. I just want to plug these podcasts I normally don't get to. I really wanted to take the time for this one, though. So Paul hit me up last week. He started listening to our show, I don't know, a few years ago. He's from Buffalo, and we started talking on the side. I believe I mentioned this last week. Invited me on to his podcast that he started to. So it's really dope. The name of his podcast is the Who Will Survive podcast, and it's a horror podcast. So if you guys like horror, Paul's a fucking dope, grounded, down to earth fucking cat. So he jumped on board our fantasy football league, the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League. Very cool guy. So the fact that you know, we're still friends. Like, I consider my audience, our listeners, friends anyways. So very dope. Find his podcast if you're into horror movies, though. And I did say horror, not horror podcast. Although I should probably start a fourth horror podcast. Hit Comics After Dark. Matthew is the host of that one. He's got a few other intertwining co-hosts as well. Just dope, down-to-earth guy. He's my doppelganger from fucking the past few conventions. Cool cat, down-to-earth. Same sensibilities as the Comic Syndicate. But yeah, definitely find him. Cool cat. And the last one I'm going to hit is... I have two, I guess. First one's going to be the Bearded Underachievers. Find Eric Lopez, Eric2477, I believe, on Twitter. But I'm very cool cat. He's from Oklahoma. I was on his cousin's podcast a long time ago that is now defunct. But his cousin Miguel Garza has a critical thinking podcast. So find those guys. They have a bunch of intertwining podcast hosts on that one as well. They talk about everything. And it had been getting more, I guess, music interviews, which is pretty dope. Again, back to Eric, the Bearded Underachievers podcast. Eric, I've been wanting to hit you up on the side for a while, dude. I'm pretty sure you feel the bug to record again. Eric's podcast was the Bearded Underachievers podcast, straight up, and they were strictly about wrestling. Like, the fact that I don't get to chat with everyone so often, but the fact that Eric, you know, David hits me up on the side, Paul hits me up on the side, Miguel hits me up on the side, like, these guys, legit, like, we will take time out of our days, you know, granted a few weeks, granted a few months, but, you know, Eric's really good about just like, hey, what's up, out of the blue. It doesn't have to be about comics, it doesn't have to be about anything, really. It's just about shooting the shit and reaching out and just fucking chatting a quick text here and there, busting each other's balls, which is fucking cool. Find these guys. Another one, the last one's going to be the 2OC podcast. It's RG's brother, Alan Flores, and Anton Duong. Very cool cats, dude. So one cat from Orange County, Cali, one from Orange County, Florida. They've been best friends since, I think, elementary, I want to say. But both fucking knowledgeable cats about tech, about foodies, they're foodies, about tech, you know, comics, about pop culture, anything. They're fucking really dope. Find them. They started live streaming recently, I want to say last week, and they're doing a great job. So mad props to both of you guys. Like, I love the fact that you guys are able to do it. Adam and I would always talk about it. And, I was, your brother and I recorded yesterday, Archie and I recorded another deep dives in rabbit holes, and he's like, do you want to? I'm like, no, fool, do you want to? Like, you've already seen all the work I'm doing for this podcast already. Like, I have too many moving parts, and the fact that you're here helping out is helping out, but there's no way we can pull that stunt off. Like, don't get so crazy so soon. RG, we're definitely going to fucking do it. We're definitely going to do it. Eventually, dude. But we're getting there. We're not there yet. But again, props to those guys. So the 2OC boys, find them at the 2OC on Instagram. Definitely on Twitter. Find everyone. If you guys can find out, reach out to these cats and just follow them. They're all good. Give them a listen. The last one I'm going to hit, bullet point, is going to be just dropping the idea to roll out a soft launch for Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. We've been getting some great feedback on those ones, which we're loving. And Arj and I keep throwing out, like, okay, this date or that date or that date for a launch of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. If you guys don't know, I mean, if you guys listen to Comic Syndicate, I'm pretty sure you guys know what Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes is now. And I want it to be its own consistent, separate entity from the Comic Syndicate. And yes, we're going to make references back and forth, but they're not going to be so easy to catch if... Like, the traction we're getting off of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes is pretty rad to see already. Like, it's becoming something, which I love. So I was thinking, you know what? We already own the name. Like, I own the fucking name. So you know what? Let's just get everything rolling. And we won't put an official episode one up yet until it's our legit first episode. But just have it be separate. So... You know, it's just its own thing, and it can blossom and turn into something, I guess. But and we have like 3-4 episodes banked up. We recorded another one the other day, yesterday, and you know what? We're just banking them up. So it's like, let's just do it already. Like, you know, soft launch, teaser preview, still keep that up. And then one day just be like, all right, you know what? We're ready. This is going to be episode one. And at least it's its own thing. So if you guys are liking the way we're rolling deep dives and rabbit holes, please find Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes on Facebook. Go to Twitter and Instagram, Deep Dives R on Twitter, and Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes on Instagram. Find us at those spots. We are going to be more interactive. Find at RG Flores on Twitter. You guys can always find me at For the Villain. But again, just because it's become its own thing and we can really see it already. Like, I can see it and I can pull up numbers. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. And the feedback is good. And the fact that my friends in my personal life will hit me up out of the blue, like, I'm kind of more aware of, like, how I tip people. Like, I'm more aware of, like, book smart or street smart. Like, stupid fucking shit like that is fucking hilarious to me. And the fact that we're time travelers is probably rad as fuck, too. So we're a month ahead, and it's your guys' future, but it's our past. So by the time you guys hear it in your present, we're going to be in our future, way further in the future already. So it's gnarly, and I love the fuck out of it. All right, that's all I got. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Find us anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Share the podcast more than anything. Give me a few minutes. I will be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, I am back with some comic talk. Okay, let me just jump back, I guess, to things I missed prior portion. Alan, Anton, I did mention, I think, a few episodes on several episodes that I want to have a meeting with you guys. Honestly, it's about just collaboration, dude. Like, I want you guys on the show. It's something on the side I could hit you guys up about, but it's seriously something I want to do. Eric, I want to have you on. Paul, likewise, like, I'm juggling chainsaws, guys. I really am. Not just in life, but, like, with the work. In general, is just a lot. So, and then getting more interviews lined up and getting more content for you guys, the listeners. So, it's not, at least I'm not just rambling on by myself, all alone, solo. But the fact that I can bring content for you guys, it makes me happy, dude. So, hopefully, you guys enjoy my reviews and hopefully, you guys stick on board for them as well. Here we go. Sorry about that. We're going to hit USA Orders, Jason Bourne Universe, Set Drama, Treadstone, 2 series. I honestly have never seen any of the Bourne films, maybe part of part one. I hear they're great. I don't mind. I mean, if the universe is that good or expansive, why not? Next one's going to be Veronica Mars Revival was headed to Hulu. I've never seen any of those ones. By the way, I'm not a big TV guy, guys. Big TV guy, guys. And next one's going to be Jessica Jones creator to leave Netflix for Warner Brothers TV deal. Okay, so Melissa Rosenberg, who developed Marvel's Jessica Jones for Netflix and served as showrunner, will leave the drama following its third season for a multi-year development deal with Warner Brothers Television. So that could be anything. It could be the new Batwoman show. It could be fucking Legends of Tomorrow. It could be Arrow. It could be The Flash. It could be any of those ones. Black Lightning. So she left a great show, Jessica Jones, which season one was great. I haven't seen season two yet. But yeah, that's interesting news. Now, trip out on this. I had a thought today. Well, bummer that Disney axed, or Marvel Studios / Disney axed James Gunn. We don't even know if they're keeping his script. As opposed to asking ourselves, like, which director are they going to use, or are they even going to use his script? Today I was thinking, I'm like, dude, I don't know if this would be a good move or a bad move. Why hasn't DC fucking movies, the extended universe, DC Studios pull James Gunn to work on a fucking project? Like, if they're working on a Green Lantern movie, fucking have him direct the fuck out of that, dude. Like, if he did what he did with Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, a bunch of characters, obscure characters that no one fucking knows. There are a bunch of fucking C characters, honestly, straight up, that nobody fucking knew a thing about and made them into fucking something that made you guys give a shit about them. I don't see how that could be a bad thing. And let's say he does shitty. you know what? Welcome to the world of fucking Disney fucking extended universe. All those movies fucking suck anyways, including Wonder Woman, everyone. Yes, I said it. I'm never going to take that back. You guys know that. Next one's going to be Marvel. Report Marvel Studios shooting Phase 4 film in UK in 2019. And only actually, there's a bunch of movies on the docket, but Doctor Strange 2 could begin filming in spring 2019. The possibilities, I guess, were Doctor Strange 2, Black Widow, which they did get greenlit for, or the Eternals, which again obscure characters that no one fucking knows. Next one's going to be Jon Favreau's Star Wars series cost per season could rival Game of Thrones. So Jon Favreau's live-action Star Wars series is coming exclusively to Disney's upcoming premium streaming service, and it looks like every episode comes with a hefty price tag. The 10-episode first season of the still-untitled series will have a production budget of approximately $100 million. Comparatively, the 6th season of HBO's Game of Thrones, the final season to feature 10 episodes, had a reported production budget of more than $100 million. Okay. It's the Star Wars universe. There are several reports. We don't know exactly what it's going to be about. There's one I read. Maybe it's about the Mandalorians. So think more of the bounty hunters, the race, I guess, or the group of people that the clan that Boba Fett comes from. So I'm just jazzed. Give me more of that, dude. And we have Venom's opening weekend could break October box office record. Look at it this way. Most scary movies come out in October. I haven't seen what's going to be releasing this year, scary movie-wise. I don't think it's H2O, H2O20. Halloween, I got to check the year on that, or date on that. The Tom Hardy-led Venom film, which is set to hit theaters in October, to say Sony has a lot riding on the feature would be putting it lightly, as it has already confirmed that it plans for its Spider-Verse hinge on Venom's box office success. Okay, so the whole Spider-Verse, yes. Oh, I don't know, dude. They're eyeing a possible $55 million to $85 million opening weekend. Venom, I have no problem with. I said it last week or maybe a few weeks ago. I love the fuck out of Venom. I love the fuck out of Eddie Brock. I love the fuck out of Tom Hardy. I hate the fuck out of Tom Hardy playing fucking Eddie Brock as dumbed down and unsure of himself as he does. There's got to be a reason for it, and I know he's got to be tripping balls because of the experience, but at the same time, don't be a little fucking whiny pussy either, and that weird accent is just terrible. Anyways, Iron Fist 2 season almost included Moon Knight. So Mark Spector is Moon Knight. Look at him as he's Batman, except he fucking kills. That's the best way to put it, dude. He's not even an anti-hero. He's a hero. He just fucking pushes the bar, kind of like Punisher. Marvel's Punisher wraps filming on second season. Speaking of Punisher, we have still in Marvel, I guess. Bullseye could make Daredevil Season 3 the best one yet. I love the fuck out of Bullseye. He's such a great character. A lot of people don't know. He has an adamantium skeleton, laced skeleton like Wolverine does. He can use anything as a fucking weapon, a paperclip, a rubber band, a fucking peanut. He can fucking kill you with anything. And he's just a fucking badass. He's the one who, I don't want to do spoilers, but something. Yeah, it's dope. Definitely watch it. I'm going to look forward to that one. Next one's going to be DC talk. Back to, I guess, comics. Fan art imagines Tom Cruise as the Green Lantern, Hal Jordan. It's a rumor that Tom Cruise is going to be jumping on board. I don't know how I feel about that. Oh, I mean, what else can they do wrong? I mean, really, really. All right, let's continue on here. What else do I have? Fuck my life, of course. All right, here we go. Next one's going to be DC reveals first Batman Day. Okay, so this is going to be strictly more, I guess, comic talk. Strictly into comics now. DC reveals first Batman Day 2018 details. So this is going to happen on September 15th, 2018. DC Entertainment will celebrate Batman Day 2018 next month with free comics at participating retailers and a digital comic sale. Scheduled for September 15th, the 5th annual festivities will include the free first chapters of Sean Murphy's acclaimed Batman White Knight. And, okay, let me hit that one real quick. It's a great comic I've been reviewing for a while now. It's a 12-issue arc. It's what if Joker were to become rehabilitated, and Batman being Batman, and Jack Napier is now rehabilitated, and he is able to put together, like, I'm not fucking crazy anymore. This asshole dressing up in this fucking suit is fucking up your fucking city, and you let him. Like, he's running around in a suit. Who in their right mind would do that? The flip on it is very cool. It's very dark, and it's very beautiful. So anyways, check that one out, guys. Dustin Nguyen and Derek Friedhoff's All Ages Batman, a lot of Little Gotham. So if you guys have kids, Dustin Nguyen's art's just amazing anyways. Check that one out. And a preview of Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermejo's DC Black Label title, Batman Damned. So retailers will have access to an online activity kit as well. So there's going to be a bunch of digital sales. There's going to be a bunch of retail things going on Comixology, Google Play, Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, Nook, and iTunes. For whatever you guys want, there's going to be a bunch of sales. And again, it's his 75th anniversary of Batman. So that day, you're probably going to be seeing me post up everything that I love the fuck out of Batman. Definitely for sure that day. Find me on at Twitter at For The Villain. Go to at Comic Syndicate 1 on Twitter. Find at the CS Bell, I believe we have. And go to comic_syndicate on Instagram as well, guys. Find me at those spots. That's all I got, really. Sean Murphy, speaking of Sean Murphy again, Sean Murphy seemingly confirms Batman White Knight 2. So he's the one who created, he was a great artist, but he was given the chance to write his own art or back up his own art. I always love when people are talented enough to do that. Like Jeff Lemire is one of those fucking guys. Frank Miller is one of those fucking guys, more classic, but great artists that, you know, write their own story and are that creative. That's a lot of fucking work. To write alone is a lot of work. To fucking illustrate your own writing, at least you know what you're talking about. So I just love the fuck out of that. And last for comic news, I guess, is going to be two things. Marvel Knights revamp revealed to be a 6-issue series. So it was announced during San Diego Comic-Con about 20 years ago. There was a brand of Marvel called Marvel Knights with a K, Knights. And it was darker, edgier versions of our characters we're used to seeing, but with a ballsier fucking twist. Great fucking stories by a lot of great fucking writers and artists in that 20 years later, they're going to kind of revamp it and put that out again. The first issue is going to be about Matt Murdock and how Matt Murdock has forgotten who he is, and he even forgets, like, I'm fucking Daredevil. Like, I have these abilities. Like, I have a night fucking job. I do fucking what at night? So I'm very curious about that. Last one's going to be interesting. This is just not my football team. I love the fuck out of it, dude. Marvel and New York Jets team for promotions giveaways in 2018 season. Marvel Comics and the New York Jets have teamed up for a special event that pits the Incredible Hulk against Thor Odinson. The Jets announced the partnership with Marvel Today, emphasizing plans to include various Marvel features at their East Rutherford, New Jersey stadium throughout the 2018 season. First on the docket is Hulk versus Thor themed Greenout on October 21st, when New York's Gang Green Fae appropriately enough against the Minnesota Vikings. Very cool. I just love the fact that people can do that, and I believe that game they're going to give a Hulk bobblehead out. So like the bobbleheads you see, you know, for sports anyways, like, you know, any sports figure, that they're going to do that. I love the fuck out of it, dude. Give me more of that, and more people should be into this fucking pop culture shit. You know what? We're in deep now, so fucking balls deep, guys. All right, now I'm going to go hit some comic reviews real quick. I'm going to hit, first of all, East of West number 38. The writer is going to be Jonathan Hickman. Nick Dragota is the artist. Love the fuck out of both of those guys. Frank Martin is the inker. Starts off with a ranger, which I mentioned last review. Now at the Kingdom of New Orleans, encountering the old crew of brothers. It looks like a standoff at first, but once the ranger mentions who he's here to kill, or who he's after, the name John Freeman, they oblige and let him through. They're like, why don't you just say that from the beginning? Fucking follow us, man. We don't like that fool anyways. Which happens to be one of the ruler's sons. And now where we see it doesn't quite end up as well as they don't see eye to eye. So they take him, the ranger, to, you know, the head guy. And it's the ruler's son that he's after. He's like, I just want to kill your son. He's a bastard fucking child. I can't let you do that. Get the fuck out of here. And it's like one of those what would you do moments where it's like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. My son's a douchebag. But, he's my douchebag, so get the fuck out of here, you know? And even the dad, though, knows his son's a piece of shit. And now jumps to one of the sons, one of the possible successors, which I believe he is, then jumps to a dinner amongst them all the brothers, John Freeman and his fellow brothers, and they're all weird. They have like 14, 15, 16 siblings, and they're all called like 1, 2, 5, 14, 12. It's weird, but that's how this family rolls. So now we see, like, the king finally calls out one of his sons, which is John. And he is the follower of this quote-unquote message, this underlying theme in the book east of west. This belief somewhat sort of religion regarding the end days and the four horsemen of apocalypse and the beast, the son of death, Babylon. So it's just interesting to see all these characters intertwine. So now the son, John, is being asked to abandon this message and tells his dad straight up, you know, to fuck off. Like, no, I'm not going to abandon this. Like, I'm supposed to be one of these people that is supposed to talk about it. And it's not a good fucking thing. Like, everyone who knows the message ends up twisted and distorted and ends up really fucked up or dying or losing an arm or appendage anyways. Then we see something really unexpected from the king, his father, as he now contacts the ranger. And he is again on his mission of his own after he was left for dead. And he went to the hospital and he wants to kill everyone that is a keeper of this message, this keeper or holder of the message. And he's like, you know, these are the people he wants to kill. Now we see an interesting panel of an execution. Like, we see John walk into his throne room and his lady, his friend Naomi Adams, who's his vizier, is there, and she has a gun pointed at him. And she's like, don't move. He's like, what? Do you really think I'm going to shoot you? And the underlying relationship they have is like they do dig on each other. Like, she does like him. She's the king's right-hand man, but she's his all her hands man. And it's really cool because now we see, like, a mile away, we see the ranger posted up on a building and he's about to snipe John. And she's like, whatever you do, don't move. The ranger fucking aims, takes fire, shoots. And it's really cool because we don't see it. We just see a blam. What I get off of the panels is she was expecting that. The ranger was going to do something, so waiting for the execution. And she kind of rattled off the bullet with her own. I know it sounds gnarly, but it's a dystopian futuristic Wild West, which is gnarly to say, technologically advanced world, but in civil days, like, it's weird. It's not even civil days, but just cowboy days and country. It's a fucking really dope, rich world that I love the fuck out of. Jonathan Hickman's going to write it, I think, maybe no more than eight more issues. I love the fuck out of it. I just don't want it to end because it's so rich, and I love these characters. Like, Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse return every so many years. 1 year they're adults. It's like, all right, it's time to go back to bed. Death's like, no, like, I think I'm kind of fucking in love. He ends up falling in love with Zhaolin. They have a kid. The kid gets taken away from them. They get ambushed by the three horsemen now that hate death now. And it's one of those, like, okay, you finally find happiness. And even as death, even as a man, even as a woman, whatever, you know, you might think you do so many bad things, but what are you willing to do to fight for, you know, your wife, your kid, someone you love, people you care about? Like, how far are you willing to go? And then just all the fucked up world that happens around them is just fucking dope, dude. There's a really good kicker on top of that. If you guys are following it, if you guys know the characters, even if you guys don't know all the characters, find East of West, the World. It is a great companion piece to that. And it breaks down all the nations that are around. It breaks down every character who's in charge, who runs which territory type of deal. So anyways, I always love the fuck out of that. Find that if you guys can. My last review is going to be Venom number 5. Danny Cates is going to be the writer. I've been loving his work. Ryan Stegeman's going to be the artist. Love the fuck out of his work. J.P. Mayer is going to be the inker. And I do believe that I did, review a few of these before. And I love the fuck out of it, dude. Okay, so this one now starts off with Miles calling for Venom. And then Eddie, he's like, Venom, Eddie. And then we see him not just calling him, but now yelling, Eddie, damn it, Venom, trying to get his attention. As we see, Eddie's eyes are closed, and it looks like he's upside down, and he's getting punched in the face, like, time and time again. And then we finally see Eddie Brock wake up. Then we see the scene of Miles and Eddie and what's been going down. So the last issue I reviewed, it looked like this giant Grendel dragon creature was flying them into outer space, into orbit, I guess. And now we see what's going on, and it's pretty much Eddie and Miles Morales, Spider-Man, falling down from the sky. And it's literally, they're both falling. Miles Morales is over Eddie Brock, punching him like, wake the fuck up, dude, like, wake the fuck up. So when he finally wakes up, they're both fucking freaking. It's essentially, that's what's going on. And then it's, we finally get the symbiote telling Eddie, things are okay, don't worry. Then we see a panel of a voice telling Eddie, you know, his inner monologue, but they're able to talk to each other. You know, they coexist. It's your symbiote. And he tells Eddie, grab the spider and go limp. Do it now. Eddie's like, what is happening? Why do you sound so different? And it's funny. He's like, we will explain later. Just trust us. As we see the suit start tweaking itself out now, which is fucking dope. Like, Ryan Stegman, I love the fuck out of it. In a way we've never seen before, which is pretty dope and just sick. And we see a splash page of what happens. And the best way to describe it, and I don't know if I can paint this panel, but it's literally like, looks like as they're falling down, Eddie Brock gets told this. He goes limp, and we see the venom, the spider on the back of his plate, kind of like peeling off. And the way it's peeling off, it becomes wings. And this is a different power we're not used to Venom having. And we see the suit start choking itself out. Again, a dope splash page where they finally drop off Spider-Man and then bail. And then Eddie finally has a talk with his symbiote. Like, okay, let's find a spot. I need some fucking answers. The symbiote says, your heart is beating very fast. You're scared. Do you want me to alter the chemicals in your body to calm you down? Eddie's like, what? No, you can do that? Symbiote's like, we can do many things now. Eddie's like, you're freaking me out. Like, what the fuck's going on? And then the symbiote's like, not our intent. Let us explain. Noel tried to burn my connection to the light away. My connection to you. As long as we're together, Noel will be able to find us. To infect us. And it's just really dope now, because we see a great fucking scene where the way they've been writing the symbiote of Venom is, I don't want to say a fucking dog, dude. It's its own person. It's its own entity. It has its own thoughts, and it does have its feelings, emotions too. Like, they've made the suit into a character, and essentially it's an alien symbiote. So technically it has been, but the fact that they're finally giving this character a voice, is fucking dope and making him more into a character. I just love the fuck out of it. That's probably why it's book of the week for me. So just very classy and dope to see, you know, a scene between two, friends. I mean, they've been living, working together for so long. How can you not be friends with this fucking thing and vice versa? And then Eddie says, like, you know, we've fought things, you know, tougher than this, right? And then the symbiote says, you know, that's not true. And it's just like the symbiote kind of like telling him, like, it's time to bail. Like, I think I know a way to stop it, but we're going to get our asses kicked. So it's one of those, like, Doc Holliday Wyatt Earp moments, which is kind of cool. Then we see them figure out the next course of action to take, and they find Rex Strickland, which he's the one who hired Eddie Brock to find his old crew from the get-go. And check out those ones as well. This title is only 5 issues deep, guys. Like, you guys don't have to go a deep dive for it, but I love the story and I love the art already, and it's worth fucking checking out. Catch it before the fucking movie and be like, fuck, this is fucking dope. Like, it's probably going to be better than the movie anyways. Sorry about that, guys. So they find Rex Strickland, and we find out, like the suit says, there are many things I have to tell you. Like, we've learned a lot of new abilities. Like, you don't even know the half of it. And very cool. So now they go see Rex again. Sick panels of and pages of what we see and the information we get of, again, the suit knowing and telling him, like, you know, we're symbiotes, but we work together. We have this hive mind, and we're stronger together. So now they go to Rex, and it's interesting because now we see Rex's point of view too. Eddie Brock's like, what the fuck? What are you doing? You put this together, but every time I go on a mission or you're around, something fucking gets fucked up. So Eddie's like, I'm tired of this bullshit. It's because of you. Stabs, creates a spear with one of his hands and creates a spear, stabs fucking Strickland in the face. Pulls it out. There's a giant hole in a fucking empty, in a head, which is dope. And then the symbiote says, let us see your teeth. And then the symbiote transforms, and it's just a full Venom symbiote. It's like, what the fuck did you do to Strickland? And this is dope. Even in these pages and panels already, like, we see the symbiote, this symbiote that belonged to Rex Strickland. He's like, Rex died a long time ago. Like, I was his symbiote. He was my friend. He was my – and it's fucking dope. Hopefully I put it down, dude. he was my, and then we see Eddie Brock's symbiote answer, light. And it's a symbiote now. And he's like, yeah, I took form of his body. Like, I am Rex Strickland. Like, we were together so long. When he finally died, like, I have his memories. Like, we lived together. Like, it's my best friend type of deal. So kind of beautiful to see, again, the symbiotes connected to their host. And, like, you know, symbiote in science, they're supposed to kill you. Like, one eats the fuck out of you. And I'm pretty sure they're going to write a story like that eventually. But just beautiful to see that, how... again, they're giving these symbiotes more heart and more character. So I really love the fuck out of it. And then now we see the symbiote saying, no, built us to hunt the light. But the light, it gets interrupted. It's beautiful. Yes, Rex says. And he tells Rex, remember what we are, Rex. This is what makes our species great. We are better when we are not alone. We are powerful. We are strong. And it's cool because Eddie holds his hand up as in his venom. Full venom out suit, and it's cool because even one of the new abilities is his symbiote is able to talk to, I don't know if it's other people or other symbiotes, but Eddie holds his hand out and the remaining symbiote from Rex's body, I guess, or the old suit that's still left around, it's weird, it looks dope because it looks like they're venomizing together. And it turns him out into a still Venom. It's completely still Venom, but a different, tweaked out, crazier, dope-looking Venom. Not like the crazy Venom symbiotes that I was talking about, you know, like issue number one or issue number two. But it's still Venom, and I love the fuck out of it. And it's like, let's go after this motherfucker. Let's stop him. Let's kick his ass. So, yeah, that was my book of the week, dude, just for the fact that the Ryan Stegman, Donny Cates, Ryan Stegman alone, his art is dope. Find that splash page. And, find Donny Cates, and he's a dope writer. He's probably my favorite writer for Marvel right now. I've said that before. But definitely find those, guys. 1 through 5 is dope as fuck. And if you guys want me to point you in the right direction, let me know, and I can definitely do that for you as well. All right, listeners, thanks for everything. I was hoping this would be a short show, and technically it is. Find the podcast. Share the podcast more than anything. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Find me at For the Villain on Twitter, at @comic_syndicate on Instagram, and also actually at @comicsyndicate1 on Twitter as well. Again, rate us. Hopefully that works. Share the podcast more, Anthony. And the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes is going to be its own separate entity. Find those social media sites as well. I will catch you guys next week. I appreciate the ride. You guys are dope as fuck. Peace out.